Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Nixendoy Cogules Show. My name is Nixendoy Cogules, the namesake for this here podcast. I just checked last week's script in preparation for this episode, and I ended off on Dr. Robotnik's Ring Racers, a racing game piggybacking off of Sonic Roboblast 2 Kart, which in turn is based upon Sonic Roboblast 2, a 3D platformer made using a modified id Tech 1, as discussed last week. However, I don't want to waste any more time and get into more old-school games as promised. Maybe I should do this more often for those looking to play old-school games without macro transactions or live service garbage. Let's do this. Yo, let me start my process of 3-8, spitting to my clock numb. Haters being aids and saboteurs from a cutting board. Please human. First off, we'll stay in the racing game genre and go straight into Revolt, which is a 1999 arcade racer where you race one of 28 RC cars around some of the most whacked out tracks a claim could ever make, especially with up to 15 CPUs, which is more of a nightmare to deal with than Wreckfest CPUs, specifically the NASCAR Legends mod. But it's a fun kind of nightmare. Now, this game has an extensive history, and I might have to cover this with a different arcade racer if I ever do a computing comparisons episode on those two in particular. That could be a good excuse for me to revive it from the dead, maybe. Anywho, there is a source port of the game called RVGL, and that's the recommended way to play Revolt in the modern day, especially since the GOG and Steam versions of the game are apparently garbage. Thanks to Korean publisher H2, having former WePlay employees, now leading a company called Superday, just port it and re-release it without any major changes to it. This is a no-go, as H2 probably was doing a cash grab from what I took a look at. That doesn't mean, though. It doesn't matter, really. RVGL also allows you to easily import mods you downloaded into the game, and the process is very simple too. By the way, Linux users will love that this port is native for us, since I use the Linux version of RVGL all the time, whenever I feel the mood to play it. Don't get me started on a wealth of content used in the IO community tournaments or other tournaments, though they may be small at times. That said though, it's only better if I'd gone ahead and moved on, as I'm just rambling at this point in time. Next will be another genre, which will be the rhythm game. Now, I had already covered this in a computing comparisons episode, but it's worth a mention here if you're into DDR, but not necessarily having access to a Round 1 USA or Dave & Buster's to play the newest Dance Dance Revolution game, which is DDR World as of right now, an upgrade kit essentially for DDR Ace 3 or Ace 20, or exclusively Ace 20 at a Dave & Buster's. Now, why do I mention these two chains in particular? There's a way to skip all of that for free, and it's called Project Outfox, the newest Stepmania-based project, though proprietary at the moment from what I understand. Granted, you'll need songs, step charts, arrows, etc., since this is quite the customizable platform. But you can find that if you scour the internet, like I have, and I still keep those I had downloaded for myself, you'll have a great time recreating almost any DDR game you'd like. Otherwise, potentially Stepmania 5.2 could work, though some songs are probably being made exclusively in other Stepmania-style games like Not ITG, Open ITG, Stepmaniacs, made by ITG developer Kyle Ward, and the like. To be fair, Arrow Voltex can be used to make step charts for all those games, except Stepmaniacs, as Stepmaniacs is a 5-panel game, whereas DDR-style games, like the original Stepmania, are 4-panel. That said, Stepmania is still going strong, thanks in part to the Outfox project, still going on Steam in Early Access, which I did play a bit of, and liked some of the changes going on there. When I recently played the latest LTS version, CacheOS ran it just fine, and I didn't have many issues, if any, at all with it. That's all for a proprietary build of Stepmania of all things, but I'm sure there's a way. The source code will be released soon, from what I've read. Maybe one of these days, I might go ahead and play something in one of the Eterna packs inside of Outfox and show it off in the latest LTS version. Or just straight up play Eterna. And, well, if I can get that set up right, use a skin called Spawn Camping Wallhack, which I absolutely love 100%. For this section, I decided to go completely unscripted on it because it turns out I wrote the episode shorter than I'd imagine. Who cares though? Now, I'm going to be explaining here, before I get to the last section, why I am more of a retro gamer than a modern gamer, even though there are some modern games I still play even now. There is an old school mentality when it comes to your video games. You expect them to be complete at launch. If there are like some extra cosmetics or something that are DLC, okay, I am willing to see how that's going to go. But otherwise, if it's just incomplete at launch and then you add things to that, that is normally not a good idea if you're basically targeting an old school audience. It's actually very exploitative, if you ask me, personally speaking. But I will also mention that some new school games will have that old school charm, so you may want to research old school games in order to see exactly which ones are very, very old. Like, I'm talking 1990s, maybe 1980s. Heck, even all the way to, like, even today. There are still some old-school games, or old-school-style games, that are still being made even now. For example, when it comes to FPS, I mentioned Doom last week. Doom is still popular even now because of the modability of the older titles. Minecraft from 2009, a sandbox. It's actually extremely popular because of the fact that it is moddable. You can absolutely mod the game, and it doesn't even violate the terms of service. It doesn't even violate the EULA either. Now, if there's a game that is moddable, I would consider it old school because it's the game's community that keeps it alive. For example, did you know that some of the older games in any series still have a modding community? Guitar Hero World Tour, for example, with a definitive edition, there are mods specifically made to add characters and stages and songs and whatnot into the game. And there are no issues with it because Activision doesn't work on it. Any older, or really up to late 2010s, or really any Need for Speed game, those are pretty old school with a modding scene too. Because Need for Speed modding, especially nowadays, holy cow, is it popular. And there are many, many, many more games with modding possibilities. If you find a game with modding possibilities, without the need for live service, without macro transactions primarily fueling it, then I'd say it's old school. So that's the mindset I have whenever I go ahead and try to find a game that I would want to play. Now, granted, there are some modern games that I do play, but they are moddable. So I think this fits the old school mindset. Anyway, let's go to the last section for this episode before I get into a tangent like I always do in unscripted episodes or unscripted segments. Last for today, we have ourselves a mishmash of games from all kinds of genres, so none in particular to focus on one genre here. For example, I have played some floss versions of board games like Catan and Axis and Allies. Floss means free libre open source software for those that don't know. To be fair, AAA or Axis and Allies is not a short game by any stretch of the imagination, especially since these digital versions like AAA or Pioneers or any of those clones, they don't compare to the actual games themselves. Switching gears though to simulation games, which I'm surprised I don't play that much. I have found some games with potential. Now, there is DLC for quite a few of them, but the DLC I think are an option if you want an old-school experience, so I'm willing to make an exception here. PC Building Simulator, for example, is quite good for the price of around 50 USD or so. Maybe it's gone up in price since then. Though there is a DLC I hadn't gotten yet because it was released some time ago and it wasn't part of the basically a full bundle with all the DLC. That being the Fractal Design DLC. Though I have everything else. House Flipper is one I wanted to play for a while too. And boy did I hear good things about a game made by Polish developers. Boy did they do a good job with it from what I had seen too. Especially taking into detail what makes house flipping and contracting tick. Then comes the likes of Trailmakers, another one I was considering after watching videos from Scrapman, one of the biggest creators for the game on YouTube. There are some I could have also considered, but there are so many of them that I might as well stop before I get too lost in this concept. That said, each episode releases every Wednesday afternoon at 4 p.m. Pacific Time on YouTube and Wavelake. You can also grab this podcast's RSS feed, linked in the description on YouTube side, if you want to get it into a podcast player that does not support the Podcast 2.0 standard. Or you can use any player that supports Podcast 2.0, and you'll see it there. That said, this was the Nikonoi Koyubo Show for this week. Thank you, and good night.